Hi, welcome to Security Guy Radio at Black Hat 2016. What's your name, sir?
Rohit Balani.
And what do you do?
I'm the founder and CEO of FishMe.
Wow.
I've heard of FishMe. I love the logo. It brings an image of, hey, we know what you do. I think it's great. Tell me what it does and boil it down a little bit for my nieces and nephews who don't get all this stuff.
Sure. So we focus on the human element of security. For the longest time, the human's been viewed as the weakest link.
Absolutely.
Right. We actually defer an opinion. They've been the weakest link because I think we take blame as security guys, saying we haven't done the job here of conditioning them to be better at it.
That's a good point.
So we actually focus on conditioning humans to be more resilient to targeted phishing attacks, which, as you know, are the number one vector today.
Right.
But more importantly, we turn them into cyber informants. So if and when they see something suspicious, they actually report those suspicious emails in a timely manner.
That's brilliant.
And then we provide the security operations center the tools necessary to rapidly analyze that and operationalize it, more importantly.
So if I put FishMe on my computer and I open up something by mistake, you can data mining. You're grabbing the data.
You
to find
can report
out.
It. Yep.
Yeah.
You
interesting.
Can report it.
Yeah.
Like a little
so
button.
It's the condition, make it easy to report, make it easy to analyze the noisy human attack intelligence. There's bound to be noise there.
But now, why do people fall for these things? Because they're getting better, but they still misspell America once in a while.
Right.
And I read it and I go, wait a minute. And I don't open anything that I don't think somebody, that I don't know somebody sent me.
Yep.
And guess what? If it was legitimate, you're going to call me on
they
the
call
phone.
You.
Right.
Hey, Chuck, how come you're not answering your email, right?
Yep.
Is there a certain demographic that falls to this more than others?
No, there isn't actually. So we have we touched 18 million unique individuals last year at FishMe.
18 million, just with your company?
That's correct, just with our company. And we've analyzed and mined that data to see if there was any demographic correlations. We actually find no gender biases. We find very little age correlation as well. What we find is that there's certain emotional triggers that get people.
Okay.
You know, certain types of people are very prone to falling for reward-giving sort of emails. Hey, there's a raffle, holiday season, they're in that mood.
Interesting.
You know, at other times, if you use an authoritative tone in that, hey, we're migrating payroll systems. If you don't get this done by Friday, there could be a disruption in your payroll. Oh, you know, so I think
catches people off guard.
It does. So the emotional trigger piece, you know, to your point, what we try to condition people is not to be ninjas at malware analysis or a URL analysis. It's more about contextual awareness. When you receive an email, just give it a second worth of thought. Was I expecting this from this person? Is this the way the person writes to me? To give you an example, they try to fish me all the time, the attackers. And they...
You personally?
Yeah, me personally.
Interesting.
They impersonated...
Oh, it's like a badge of honor thing. Gets you.
Of course, right? And they impersonated my CTO and co-founder, and they sent me an email.
Oh.
And I almost fell for this one, by the way, because it was really well done.
Yeah.
Wow.
But the thing that got me was it started with, "Dear Rohit." Aaron has never said "dear" and "Rohit" in the same sentence.
Interesting, yeah.
So it's those little sort of indicators that we try to condition people to say, just be contextually aware. Do you expect this to happen?
So I'm very familiar with FishMe. I've worked in Fortune 100s, and it seems like there's a really robust adoption of this type of user awareness training with their product, especially because it's been very popular and it's easy to integrate in your organization.
Sure.
Where do you feel, or do you feel that there's other, not only industries, but maybe in the midsize and small, are they adopting these techniques as well?
Absolutely. So we actually launched a specific product for small and medium businesses
this year.
What we found is that the attackers often use them as the test bed.
Absolutely.
Or as the leapfrog point if they're part of the supply chain for the larger providers, as was the case with Target.
71% of hacks start with the small business.
Exactly.
100 people or fewer. Did you know that?
So we had an unprecedented inbound interest from that community. And so we said, okay, we'll give you a solution that's at a price point that's affordable and that fits the bill for you.
And that's the key, because I feel like the SMB market is continually left out of the picture when it comes to access to quality cybersecurity.
Right. Yeah.
The training and awareness, the consultation, the design, because one, they typically don't have the budgets and they're not very knowledgeable of these threats.
Yep.
So let's define phishing. I get a lot of weird stuff on Facebook.
Sure.
Mostly women.
Yeah.
My dear, I would like to contact you. My dear, when they say my dear, I know right away it's
no good.
And sometimes it's you, friending me when you're already my friend.
Yeah.
Right? Is that considered phishing?
I would say any sort of electronic social engineering is essentially phishing.
Okay.
So whether it's via social media, it's via social networks. But email still continues to be the primary attack vector because they're trying to break into corporations. They know everyone's used to
a lot
of email to process every day. You know, there's this really interesting book by a Nobel laureate, Daniel Kahneman, who talks about how we process in system one mode, which is our brain gets into lazy mode when we do a lot of something.
Okay.
And so when we're processing emails and hundreds of them a day, we have to sort of get into lazy mode and process.
That's a good point. I do 200 to 300 emails a day. That's true.
Exactly.
Interesting.
So our whole goal is how do we get you into system two, which is just be alert enough.
Right.
So when you see something suspicious, the radar goes on, says, uh-oh, I got you on this one. So that shift is quite hard, actually.
Now, it's a lot of work, but do you recommend setting up those filters where I say, here are my accepted domains, my accepted email people? If you do that, then you block your computer from something that might be legitimate, too.
Correct. Yeah, it's extremely hard to do that. Right. A lot of folks going with the DMARC and, you know, a lot of these standards. But you need global adoption. You need every organization in the world to abide by these standards. Right. It's like an overhaul of the email infrastructure. I don't think it's going to happen in my lifetime.
So how long do you think, and you feel from your statistics of being in business and operationalized in corporations, how long do they use the product? Is it a year? Is it 2 years and they feel like, okay, we've trained our people? Is it ongoing?
It's in continuum. I hate to use this example, but you know, think about vulnerability scanning of systems.
Sure.
You know, you got a clean Qualys report today. Doesn't mean you're not going to scan tomorrow. Because of the variety of emotional triggers, new employees coming in and out, there's a lot of different factors. The changing modus operandi of the attackers, it's just on a continuous basis. And also people tend to forget. If you stop doing it we've had customers who had that ideology, said, I did it for 3 years. I brought susceptibility down.
Yeah.
I got reporting up. I'm going to take a break. Well, when they come back 6 months later, they're astounded as to how the numbers have crept back up in a bad way.
And so how do you guys stay on the cutting edge of trying to pump out material that's relevant and it's not just the same fish me, the same deer so-and-so with the bad misspellings? How do you stay?
That's a great question. We have a dedicated intelligence team that we actually acquired a company called Malcovery Security last year that focuses solely on this. So they have a honeypot consisting of millions of email accounts globally. We're collecting emails, running them through sort of our, I hate to use the term, big data engine.
Sure.
Analyzing which ones are phishing emails, looking at the modus operandi, and we're templatizing those in real time and providing them to our customers. So we look at it as a real-time vaccination. We're seeing these attacks out there, and we're going to let our customers simulate those very attacks in real time.
Wow.
This is amazing.
This is.
Now, I like numbers on this show. Uh-huh. Stats.
Yep.
How many phish attacks happen every year? Billions?
Yeah, it is. It is absolutely ridiculous because, you know, every quarter now we've started putting out what we call our malware report. This quarter's we analyzed 559 different pieces of malware just from our phishing honeypots.
Just from yours?
Just from our phishing honeypots. So these are not, these don't include typically advanced nation state actors because they don't get pulled into our honeypots, right?
No.
It's more cyber criminals. It's ransomware actors, business email compromise. 559 unique malware samples and attack types in one quarter.
Wow.
559.
I mean, multiple instances of those, of course.
Wow. Yeah. Now, so does PhishMe also help to block and contain when it sees the malware attached?
Yes. So the way we do that is, you know, the conditioned human reports suspicious emails. They come into the SOC. The SOC analyzes it using our products, and we get it then to the point where they've got rules, for example, a Yara rule or whatnot, that they can export either to their SIM, if that's their workflow, or directly to their firewall or mail filter. And so they can send that right on and detonate, pretty much.
Wow. So is it, she's a smart one and the dumb one. So is PhishMe, it's not completely an anti-malware function, right? Differentiate between, here, I'm an anti-malware company, and you run your scan of my computer and I catch it.
Right.
Malware is a lesser included unit of the email.
Correct.
Which is the big part of the scam, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you're
exactly
more of an email
right.
monitor.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, and because, you know, there's a lot of malware-less attacks as well, right?
But business, it's already on your computer. Yeah. I don't want it on my computer
exactly.
yet. You're going to keep it off at first.
Exactly.
Coming through the email vector.
Right.
Correct. Yeah, you got it.
Now, any email servers better than others for this kind of stuff? I mean, is Microsoft Exchange any better than Google's? Or Google, I don't seem to get too much of that stuff, but I still get it.
Yeah, no, not really. I think, you know, the determined hacker does get their email through, irrespective.
Right.
We find. So I don't think any one technology is better than the other by margin of error, you know, maybe 3% here and there. But it really comes down to, as I said, the human perspective. You know, the story I always tell real quick is, you know, Times Square, 2010, there was a bomb scare. And there was a car, a Nissan Pathfinder, parked on 45th and Broadway, smack in the middle of Times Square. If you've ever been there, there's never cars parked there.
Never.
Now, there's cops, there's surveillance systems, there's cops on Segways, horses. No one identified this as a suspicious item.
Right.
It was two T-shirt vendors who looked and said, I stand here every day selling $2.99 I Love New York T-shirts. This doesn't look right.
Right.
We want to make your employees T-shirt vendors, is what I say to people.
Very interesting. Now, does it work with Google, which is, what do you call it, POP? I suppose, right? Or do you have to have a server? Are you more of an enterprise level, or could I use it at home?
You can. It works. It's pretty agnostic as far as technology is concerned. So our simulation technology is all cloud-based, of course, so it really doesn't matter.
Oh, good.
When it comes to the reporting button, we have it for Outlook. We have it for Gmail. We have it for Lotus Notes, believe it or not.
Wow.
We have it for, and mobile's coming up here as well. So we have
all
the technologies covered. And then, of course, the platform that sits in the SOC is agnostic anyway.
And he just mentioned that they have a small business package.
You have a very, very, very small business model for Security Guy Radio. I got to get it because we're starting to get more.
Yes.
The more popular the show gets, I get more and more crazy crap coming in.
We do. We have customers as small as 10 employees that are doing this.
So we have one or two. So we have to look
that
at
works
it.
Too.
Yeah.
No, we got the website got hacked.
Yeah.
I put out the invitations and everybody booked the invitation.
That we were coming to Black Hat.
On calendar, you were booking it, right? The next day, 20,000 attacks. I think they probably could have got through. My website's not sophisticated. It was probably just say, hey, you, welcome to Black Hat.
Right. But,
no, I think this is, I didn't realize it was that serious a problem. I thought phishing was kind of like your grandmother's problem.
No. You know? This is the problem. 91% of attacks, actually, as Trend Micro put it globally, start with a targeted phishing email coming into the employee base. So it is the problem.
Now, if we translate this application to mobile,
Does
it solve that as well?
Mobile, actually, I always say you're a little more secure, ironically, on mobile
Everybody's
platforms.
Everybody's been telling us that.
It really is. I mean, those platforms are a little more sandboxed, so as to say. It's harder to compromise those systems.
Things aren't as integrated on the back end.
It's interesting you should say that. I open almost 90% of my email on my phone.
Right.
I just had an intuition that, you know what? You want to get on my phone? Go ahead. You want to take the pictures of my birthday party? I don't care.
Correct.
And I don't ever VPN to my house or anything like that, so... That might be another solution people should look at is doing, because emails are great for a phone.
Right.
It's an easy environment to use.
I think the low-tech attacks, though, which are still very successful, business email compromise, trying to get a finance person to wire money out, that's going to work irrespective of platform. Send out W-2s. We've had a lot of that happen this year in the U.S.
Oh, we had that guest that did the videos, the training videos for phishing.
Yep.
And he said there was some executive at one of the big companies that said, oh, yeah, I'll just send that check out for $1 million.
Yes. Exactly.
And wrote the check.
Yeah, it's scary.
It's still happening every day. So where do you see the new trends going with email security, user awareness training?
Are we getting better at it, or are we always just chasing it?
No, we're actually getting better at it. I think we do find that when you rope the human into the mix versus ignoring them, you know, oftentimes people are like, they're the weakest element, let's build technological moats around them. If you take that approach, I think it's doomed for failure. If you include them, at the end of the day, I always say to people, technology is built for humans. So you can't keep them out of the equation. Let's think about how they use it, and let's make it easier for them to be roped into the security
posture.
I have
a theory about that.
Yeah.
So I use the right side and left side of my brain.
Right.
I can balance it out, right? But people like you, I forget which side it is, but it's the smart side.
I don't know about that.
But you know what I'm saying? At this level, it's very intellectual, it's high thinking, and it's less social in one way. Uh-huh. And I don't mean that in a bad way,
right?
And I think the people that work the stuff and program the things don't consider that human factor because they think I'm going to solve it with the one and the zero.
Exactly.
And you need that emotional component to understand what these appeals are. So I'm glad this is reaching out.
Yeah.
Give us your website again.
It's www.fishme.com.
Now spell it for nieces and nephews because it's not spelled with an F.
P-H-I-S-H-M-E.
So you're not, it's just in a phishing site daily, all right? All right, and your name?
It's Rohit Balani.
Very nice to meet you, sir. Thanks for coming on Security Guy Radio.
Thank
appreciate
you,
it.
Thank you.
Thanks. That was great.
All right, thank you so much.
Absolutely.